You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Hello, and this is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to the eMusician Podcast Show here on EPN, where we feature different individuals in the music industry that gives you a chance to hear how as musicians, business owners, and entrepreneurs, they are growing their fan bases, sharing their experiences here on the program, creation successes, and or setbacks, and more. Today, we're talking with Deborah King, a visionary choral conductor and new music advocate for Ember Choral Arts, founded in 1995 by King. Under the name Schola Cantorum on Hudson, they perform concerts in New York City and Northern New Jersey several times a year. Its unique program features an eclectic mix of new music, largely by living composers with socially relevant messages, and their concerts also stream live as well. You got to love that. And Deborah, thanks for joining us here today on the eMusician Podcast Show.
I'm delighted to be with you, Eric.
It's such a special treat to have you with us here today, and looking forward to hearing all the details. So I understand it is part of Ember's mission to extend the role of art beyond that of its own intrinsic value, leveraging it to bring visibility and expansive thinking to issues of human significance. Can you explain this in more depth to get things underway?
Sure. Well, first of all, music is just in and of itself a valuable part of the human experience. We know this even from studying ancient civilizations and how they communicated with each other and so forth. But music and the arts in general, actually, has the power, I believe, to reach into the heart and soul and body directly, sometimes even bypassing the mind at times. And although we never mean to dismiss the importance of intellectual activity, it is often at the level of our minds that we can become kind of stuck or tied to a particular dogma or political or religious view or whatever. And it is our feeling that it is on these more intuitive levels that the arts can reach, that we can sometimes become motivated or inspired to sort of reboot our lives or our life perspectives. So that's what we try to do with music, beyond singing beautiful music, which we always hope it's beautiful. But we do program around topics of sociological or historical pertinence or timeliness. And it's our hope that that music-inspired experience will serve as a catalyst for some little reboot in some parts of our lives.
Now, your latest new performances last month were titled Can We Talk? Tell us more about those performances and the powerful messages that you wanted to emphasize to the audience then.
Sure. Well, actually, Can We Talk is actually the title we've given to the entire season for all of our concerts this season. And it's intended to address what we have identified as the pretty deep polarization that we see in society today. People have a hard time talking about things. Even families sometimes have become polarized and divided around issues such as the three that we've taken on: gun control in the fall, diversity in this concert coming up in March, and the environment in May. So the March concert, the full name is actually Can We Talk About Our Friends? And what we've tried to do in each of these concerts is to find a thread that we think everybody, both sides of the aisle, all sides of the political spectrum, can agree on. And one of those is the value of our friends in our lives. And so in this concert in May, we are looking at three demographic segments that have been unfortunately on the receiving end of some hate crimes at times. Those with Asian features, LGBT community, and African Americans. And yet we are challenging ourselves, our audiences as well as ourselves, to recall a friend that we may have had in our lives who happens to fall into one of those demographics, and realizing how much more powerful friendship is than the things that separate us, or the things that differentiate our demographics, if you will. So we're trying to do a little bit of a reboot in how we think about our friends and the differences that may at times separate us.
And such a fantastic approach here in planning out your season. And thanks for sharing some of the details and motivation there. Now, what criteria do you actually choose for choosing a repertoire? And how do you go about building a concert program?
Well, it's quite a process. By the time I've programmed a concert, I feel like I've given birth practically. But first of all, and preeminent, is quality. Now, I realize the notion of quality is a very subjective, slippery slope, but obviously we're starting with what we consider to be high-quality music. For Ember, this can take a variety of directions. We are very eclectic in our stylistic choices. We have some pop selections in good choral arrangements, some arrangements of folk tunes, some more traditional choral concert music. Some of it's a cappella, some of it's accompanied. We love to work with percussion. We've got a lot of percussion in these March concerts that are coming up. Sometimes we work with orchestra, and we are blessed with wonderful solo singers in our membership, and we do use them. So it's a real mix of different styles. We do, particularly with Ember, work almost entirely with living composers, in the idea that the voices that are the freshest are the most likely to inspire an experience around issues of timeliness. So we work a lot with composers, zooming them into rehearsal to work with us as we prepare their music. So it's a real mix of things that are unusual, things that are popularly known. For example, we're doing a choral rendition of Glory. We're doing Born This Way. Keisha's popularized piece Praying, we're doing. So some things that are very popularly known, and other things that are more part of the traditional choral canon, such as We Shall Walk Through the Valley in Peace, that sort of thing. So it's a real mix.
Well, this is quite interesting, and really do appreciate your sharing some good detail on this and what you're doing here as well. Today we're speaking with Deborah King, a visionary choral conductor and new music advocate for Ember Choral Arts, here on the E-Musician Podcast Show, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, what other concerts do you have planned for this year in 2022?
Well, in May, we have the third issue in our Can We Talk season, and that one we're calling Can We Talk About Our Homes, meaning our home planet, the health of our Earth. And our common thread there is that we assume that everybody cares about their own health. They'd rather be healthy than not, and they care about the health of their families, and that means also of our homes. On this particular concert in May, it's the weekend before Memorial Day weekend that we're doing this this concert. We are premiering a piece that we actually commissioned, meaning we worked with a composer and had him write a piece for us. And Robert Patterson is the composer of that piece. It'll be not quite a half an hour in length, but about 20 to 25 minutes. It's called Listen, and it's for choir and orchestra, chamber orchestra. And it's all about how we listen to the signals that the earth gives us in terms of its health and how we interact with it. So that's how we are finishing up this 21-22 season. We're very excited about that.
Lastly, if you would, Deborah, tell us about your work in the national and international music community. I'm sure listeners would appreciate some details on that.
Well, I'd say that the national and even international face of Ember Choral Arts is what we call Project Encore. And the way that is spelled out is project with a colon in the middle and then encore. And this is actually an online catalog of post-premiere brand new music. In the composition world, all composers know, if you're fortunate enough to get a premiere of one of your works, getting that second performance is really tough. And so we founded Project Encore back in 2009 for the sake of trying to get these worthy compositions that have received a premiere performance, a first performance, and aren't yet in the choral canon. They are not widely known. So we have works that are sent to our adjudication team, well-known conductors who are adjudicating the works. And if they get the thumbs up, they go in the catalog, and it's a serious vetting. But it represents composers from 14 countries around the world at this moment. Any nationality composer can apply. But we have almost 200 active composers at this point in the catalog. And that goes around the world. It's publicized in an international publication for which I write a column monthly. So I'd say that's how we are best known, is through Project Encore. Beyond that, we are seeking to very proactively build our virtual audience for Ember concerts, primarily leveraging the work that we do with the composers that we perform. So a number of ways that we try to be of meaning to the world beyond our own locales of New York City and Northern New Jersey.
Deborah, we really do appreciate your joining us here today on the E-Musician Podcast Show. And for all the details, I'm sure you've inspired somebody out there here today in what you're doing. And if you would, I'm sure there are listeners out there that want to tap into this. Where's the best place to get all the details and the schedule online?
Oh, on our website. You'll find it all there. And it's very simply emberarts.org. So E-M-B-E-R, emberarts.org.
And of course, we'll certainly include that link within the show notes of this broadcast. Again, listeners, it is emberarts.org. Deborah, all the best. Thanks for joining us here today on the E-Musician Podcast Show.
Thank you, Eric. It's been a pleasure.
And back at you, we've been speaking with Deborah King, a visionary choral conductor and new music advocate for Ember Choral Arts. And again, for all the details, visit emberarts.org. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to the E-Musician Podcast Show, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24-7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.